Thank you, Colin, for those wonderful songs you selected today. We are continuing on with our study of the apostles. We are looking at Peter. We've looked at Peter the last couple weeks. One reason is the immense amount that is written about Peter. There are some of the apostles that more is written of than others. There is quite a bit written about Peter. Also, in many ways, he kind of represented and was a representation of many of them. He was a common man. And even though there is not a lot written specifically about some of the others, the many events that we are looking at in the life of Peter as an apostle, many of the others were there for the same events. Last week, we saw some unbelievable events where the apostles saw Jesus walk on water, and then they saw their buddy Peter walk on water. The main message in that was, as long as Peter was focusing on Jesus, he could do unbelievable things. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, that is when he began to sink. Very similar to us today. Today we're going to start off with the apostles, or some of the apostles, witnessing the transfiguration of Jesus. Peter would be one of the three that would be there. In Matthew 17, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him." For these three apostles, Peter, James, and John, this event here is literally the culmination of everything they would have known. You've got Moses representing the law. You've got Elijah representing the era of the prophets. And you've got Jesus himself, who is the Son of God, and everything from then on, the representation of being our Savior in the era of Christianity that would come later. And they were talking. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, and what is interesting about this whole thing, and you see different accounts in the different Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke you see what they were talking about, that Jesus was going to have to die. And that is true. Jesus has told them before this. Jesus has alluded to many things, and it keeps going over their heads. But in verse 4 it says, "Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter, his heart is usually always in the right spot, wants to do something good. He's the one that speaks up. Again, I don't know why Jesus took Peter, James, and John to this event. We can only make educated guesses in the big scheme of things. I guess it doesn't matter, or God would have revealed it. I don't know if it's because Jesus as a man was a little bit closer to Peter, James, and John. Or maybe they needed more reinforcement. We definitely see that sometimes with Peter. Peter probably had a little bit thicker skull than the average person, because Jesus would tell him things and it just wouldn't sink in at times. But the bottom line is these three apostles witnessed this transfiguration and Jesus speaking and talking with Elijah and Moses about his coming death, and they saw this, they heard it. And Peter is wanting to make a tabernacle for all three of them. In verse 5, while he was still speaking, Peter is still talking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, hear him. That verse right there, that sums up so much of us as a Christian. God interrupting us in our day-to-day life, interrupting Peter's on a roll of something good he's going to do. Jesus, if you want, let us make three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. This has been one big event here. It's impressive. While he was still talking, God interrupts him. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. I am pleased with him. You listen to him. How much easier would our life as a Christian be if we just did that verse? One, realize that Jesus is the Son of God. People in the world need to know that. But if we just listened to God instead of going on like Peter was. Let me do this. Listen to my Son. Goes on to say, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. It's a lot to take in. I don't even know how much of this last part they took in. They're still trying to wrap their head around the transfiguration. God talking to them from a cloud scared them to death. They're on their faces. They're probably just coming down off the mountain just kind of wide-eyed and like, wow. You know, the other apostles, what happened, guys? And they're just, you won't believe it. And Jesus says, you don't need to be talking about this until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. It takes them a little bit. It takes them a little bit for things to soak in. I don't know if you're like me. I don't know how many times I will read a passage. Maybe multiple times. And years later, I will read it again for the 86th time, and boom, I finally see it. I get it. Something I've read umpteen times, but I finally get it. We're not too very different than the apostles in that regard. We see one of the most memorable, and one of the things that we remember as little kids in Bible class, Jesus washing the apostles' feet. And in John 13, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Not just till the end of his life, but it would cost him his life. His love for them would cost him his life, because he was going to be the sacrifice for their sins. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, isn't this half the battle? Wasn't that half the battle for Jesus, knowing where he had come from and knowing that this death I'm going to suffer is only temporary? Knowing where he was going to return, that was half the battle. That's no different for us. We live in a temporary world. And the older I get, the more temporary I realize it is. But knowing where we're going, that's half the battle. We don't have to be as scared as maybe other people that don't get this. Anyway, it goes on. After supper, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Okay, they've already gotten little bits and pieces, nuggets, that he is their leader, their savior. Kind of puts them up here. And now this guy that is their leader, after supper, he starts washing their feet. That's the work of a servant. That's the work of an employee or a slave or a servant, to wash their feet. Or you do it yourself. Jesus is going to wash their feet. Then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." The same man that had made the great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and then moments later is telling Jesus, "We don't want you to go to Jerusalem and have to die at the hands of the bad guys. Far be it from you, Jesus, to do this." How did Jesus respond? "Get behind me, Satan. I can't have those thoughts in my mind. You've got to adhere to God's will." Peter's doing the same thing. You're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? He's asking them a simple question. Do you get it? Do you get what I have just done? A simple act, a humble act of washing his apostles' feet. And he goes on to say, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Another groundbreaking verse. A verse that if we would do them, and if people in the world would do this, not only if you know these things, that's one part of it. You've got to know the Word of God. Blessed are you if you do them. It's not just enough to know the Word of God. You have to do them also. In this same setting, Jesus is going to predict that Peter's going to deny him. He's just washed his feet. They've had the Passover meal instituted, what we would pattern after the Lord, what we call the Lord's Supper, the unleavened bread, the fruit of the vine. In this setting, after the washing of the feet, in Matthew 26, verse 31, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I go before you to Galilee. He keeps telling them, I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised. He just keeps hammering that idea home, and a lot of it just keeps going over their head. Peter answered and said to him, even if, he makes a bold statement here, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. He sticks his neck out on the line. Even if other people have a rough time, I will never stray from you. I will never deny you. I will never stumble because of you. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Jesus tells him that. Peter said to him, Jesus has just told him, Peter is still arguing with him. Even if I have to die with you, if I have to die, I'll be with you. And so said all the disciples. I don't care if I have to be killed. I will not deny you, Jesus. You are the Lord. You are the Son of God. I will not do it. After this, Jesus goes out to the garden to pray. I'm glad that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, the perfect sacrifice for us, rather than having me as the sacrifice. Because if I knew that that night what was going to happen, I'd be probably looking for a way to escape out of Jerusalem. I'd be trying to dig up some weapons to fight the bad guys off when they come. Jesus, what does He do? He goes and prays. What an example to them and to us. In Matthew 26, starting verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And He said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is James and John. And He began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Have you ever been in a situation like that where you're deeply distressed? Worrying doesn't help. Wringing your hands. Anger. I've tried it all. What did Jesus do? He prayed. He was deeply distressed. He was aware that He is getting ready to be arrested and killed. And how does He respond? He responds by going to His Father in prayer. And He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on His face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. This is Jesus' prayer. Dear God, please get me out of this mess. That wasn't His prayer. I am stressed. I'm coming to You in prayer. If it is Your will, if there's any other possible way around this, it'd be nice. But if it boils down to it, Your will over mine. That prayer is a prayer that we could all pray every day. Not the please do this, please. There's nothing wrong. We see Jesus asking God, but leaving it in His hands. Not getting angry when it doesn't go our way. Not throwing our hands up and leaving the church, losing our faith. Not as I will, but as You will. Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And said to Peter, what? Could You not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Does that ring true to anybody else but me? Your spirit, you want to serve God. You want to do the things for God. But we're weak. Jesus is telling Peter and the others, you watch, stay attentive, you know, pay attention. Be on alert. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then we have the arrest of Jesus. While they were out there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the events would come and start into motion where Jesus would be arrested. I don't even want to call it a trial because it was just a kangaroo court. And then He would be beaten and crucified. They are in the garden when the crowd arrives. They had been sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees. and they go to lay hands on Jesus. And in verse 10 of John 18, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear." The servant's name was Malchus. This is an interesting passage because Peter thinks he's living up to what he said he would do. "Even if I have to die with you," they're not going to do what you've said they're going to do to you. The crowd goes, they're outnumbered. They go to lay hands on Jesus. Peter draws out a sword and he whacks off the ear of Malchus. Now, to cut off an ear, he's not sitting there surgically, "Okay, let me just stand still, Malchus. Let me slice it off nice and tender." He's coming down hard, probably going to split his skull. And he jerked or missed and got the ear instead. This was not a surgical move. He was going for blood, defending Jesus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" This is almost another "get behind me, Satan" moment. When Peter had made the great confession, and then, you know, Jesus tells him, "I've got to go to Jerusalem, die," and Peter says, "Far be it, we won't let that happen to you." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan." They're arresting Jesus. Peter starts fighting. "You're not going to take him. Peter, it's got to happen. Put your sword away." We're going to end here right now. We're going to continue and probably finish up next week with Peter and then go to the Apostle John. I hope this study of Peter, you're making some connections to yourself as just an individual and as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Peter was a common man. He had the same fears, the same weaknesses that many of us have. The same desires of wanting to do good. But sometimes the flesh is weak. If you need strength through prayer, if you need to become a Christian, if you have a desire to be a Christian, put your Lord on in baptism, we can accommodate you with that also. If you'd like to study, there's plenty of people in this congregation that would be more than willing to sit down and study the Word of God with you. If you'd like to identify with us, last week we were glad to have Devin identify with us as wanting to worship here with us. He's been attending here quite some time, but actually made the formal. I want to be part of the family here at South Valley. We're glad to have him. If you would like to make this your church home, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, whether it be baptism, prayer, if you need to repent of sins, don't delay. This is a great day to do it. Speaking of the great day, all you dads out there, sincere happy Father's Day. You are the hero to a number of people. They're looking to you for guidance, and you're shaping their character right now. Especially bringing them to worship assembly. Anyway, whatever your need, if you would please stand and Colin will lead us in the invitation song. Come forward if you need to respond to the invitation.